I want to talk to us tonight about that topic. Who cares? How would you like to live in a place when nobody cared? As a basis for this study, I'm reading from Psalm 142 and verse 41. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge fail me. No man cared for my soul. A lot of people get to thinking nobody cares. And it creates a lot of problems in this society of ours. It even causes people to commit suicide because they get to thinking nobody cares. And that's sad, isn't it? If you've been thinking that, I want to try to erase that from your system tonight by suggesting to you that the Bible has a great number of expressions of concern. I'd like to catalog some of them for us in our study tonight. Expressions of concern to help you appreciate who cares. I begin with this. The Bible teaches, first of all, that God gave. You can't read that expression and not understand that somebody cares. Often called the golden text of the Bible. In John 3:16, probably a verse you've memorized. For God so loved the world that He gave. If you read no more than that, you can understand that somebody cares. I got to thinking about that. What are some of the things that God has given that helps us appreciate that somebody cares? Well, as you think about that, one thing that comes to my mind is that in the beginning, God gave us life. In the book of Genesis 2:7, the Bible indicates that God created man from the face of the earth, the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's how we got here. God gave us life in the very beginning. Not only that, but Paul, writing those in Acts 17:28, points out that in God we live and move and have our being. Without God, we could not exist because somebody cares. That's why. Also, as you think about that, not only did God give us life, but the Bible teaches that God gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But to help you appreciate that a little more, the Bible also teaches that God gave us a book by which to live. Oh, it's not the book of the month, not the book of the year, but it's the book of books. It's the Bible, the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul uttered, "All Scripture is given," as my word, given, "by the inspiration of God." And how that these Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. God gave us life, and He gave us a book by which to live, and He gave us His Son. But also the Bible teaches that God has given us eternal life. In 1 John 5 and verse 11, John recorded, and this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. We don't have eternal life here and now. If we are in His Son, we have eternal life in two ways. First, in hope. In the book of Titus 1:1 and 2, the hope of eternal life. And in 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. You can't read all of these Scriptures, be impressed with these points, and not understand that God cares. In the book of 1 Peter 5 and in verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The next time you get to feeling low and downhearted, and you get to thinking, who cares? Remember, God gave. But there's a second thing I want you to think about. The next time you get to asking this question, well, who cares anyway? I want you to remember the fact there are expressions
of concern in this sacred book. Whenever you read the expression that Jesus wept, I hope you will understand that somebody cares. Jesus wept. Often called the shortest verse in the Bible. John 11 and verse 35, at the death of Lazarus, the Bible says Jesus wept. Jesus cared. He shed tears. And we ought to appreciate the fact that Jesus cares. I'm sure you sing the song that's in this book, number 485. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? When my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks, is it all to Him? Does He see? The chorus. Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. The next time you get to thinking, who cares? Remember this song. Sing it often. Recall the message. Jesus, well, because He cares. I think sometimes one of our problems is we've gotten a little hard-hearted along the way. And we think we're too big, too proud maybe, to shed a few tears. You know, Paul writing to Romans in Romans 12:15 penned these words. Remember them? Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. It'll do you good to do some of that along the way. And to let folks know you care. We need to show that. But as you think about this thought tonight, let me give you another one. Here's an expression that I like a great deal. It says that Philip rang. You know the connection there, don't you? It comes from the book of Acts 8, right? In the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember he was commissioned by the Lord in Acts 8 and in verse 30. The Bible said that Philip rang. I wish we could cultivate that desire to teach others and that we cared about others enough that we'd make that effort. Have you ever run to teach somebody the gospel? Walked? Wrote? Have you ever gone? I've been trying to challenge all of us all week, and I challenge myself as well. I've got to constantly be interested in teaching others. Not enough of that. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul said the things that you've learned. Paul, what do you want me to do with them? Commit them to faithful men who shall be able. Able to do what? Teach others also. We need to learn to do that. You know, we save ourselves by saving others. 1 Timothy 4:16. It's going to be difficult to go to heaven by yourself, isn't it? And I urge us to get busy and begin teaching. We've had folks attend this meeting who are not members of the church. You've got that on that list, right? And you've already begun, I hope, to do whatever is necessary to try to begin to teach them the gospel. And I hope to hear from you in the next few weeks that you've taught them. They obey the gospel and you continue to go by that process. Be concerned like Philip. He ran that he might teach the gospel of Christ. But as you think about the story tonight, who cares? A lot of people ask that. The psalmist did. Number 4. The Bible teaches that the Apostle Paul cared.
Remember the little story in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. It begins about verse 22. 2 Corinthians 11, 22. Are they Hebrews? Paul said, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and death oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He was beaten. The Jews had a little law that they, if they whipped a man, they'd not give him any more than 40 of them. And so they didn't want to miscount, and so they'd only give him 39. That was gracious of them, wasn't it? Paul said, I've been there. 3 times thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, the ocean. In journeys often in perils of waters of robbers of my own countrymen, by the heathen, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea. And somebody said probably the worst one among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. You endured any of this, by the way? Probably not. Wonder why Paul did all that. And he said, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, see that next word? Care of all the churches. 2 Corinthians 11, 22 to 28. Next time you get to thinking, who cares? Remember, Paul had to care. He would not have endured these kinds of things. But there's another one I want you to look at. One of my favorite characters of the New Testament is a fellow by the name of Andrew. The Bible says that Andrew learned of Jesus. And you know the very first thing he did? He found. You read the story in the book of John, chapter 1. 40 to 42. What was it that Andrew found? His brother. And took him out to lunch. Is that what he says? How many of you think that's what he says? No, that's not what happened. You know, he may have done that. But the Bible said he found his brother, and the first thing he did, he brought him to Jesus. I like that, don't you? Wonder why Philip and Andrew did these kinds of things, and why Paul was so concerned about that. I tell you why. They cared. That's why. And when you and I get to caring like that, you're going to see a big difference in how much you're going to grow and develop spiritually. And you're going to see the church grow and become strong and stronger as the days come and go. Because people like to know that you care. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 25, the apostle said, having care one for another. We just got to have that. And unless you've cultivated it, I encourage you to work on it. That you will have that kind of disposition toward others. Don't you like people that care for you? Be concerned about your welfare? Begin tonight, if you haven't already learned to do this. Show things that people know you care. Sometimes they're just little things. Would you work on it? Would you try it for 30 days? I guarantee you, you want to keep it up. Because of the good that's accomplished by caring. But there's one other. And this sermon is all yours, and this meeting is yours. To help you appreciate, who cares? The Bible says that Jesus died. You can't read that expression and not understand that somebody cares. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 2:9 that Jesus tasted death
for every man.
That includes you. That includes me. Paul, writing the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, said, I preach unto you the gospel, by which you are saved. And he goes ahead to point out in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 some other things about the gospel. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. There is buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, seen of others. You've got the gospel in a nutshell. When you talk about the death and the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ back to His Father, that's the gospel. And the Bible said that in the midst of that gospel, Paul said, I preached it, you received it, you obeyed it, and it's by that process that you're saved, and in the midst of that, he points out that Jesus died. You can't read that and not understand. Somebody cares. The Bible points out in Romans 5 and verse 8 that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ, you know what He did? Died for us. The next time you get feeling downhearted and just, I wonder if anybody really cares. Remember, God gave, Jesus wept, Philip ran, Paul cared, Andrew found, and Jesus died for you. If you look on this tonight and you never obeyed the gospel, you've heard it. You've heard it tonight. And I don't know how many times we need to hear it. I don't know how many times we have the right to hear it. Do you? Are you aware of the fact that New Testament conversions, they start in Acts 2 through 19. You're going to read those sometimes. They only heard one sermon. Isn't that amazing? Believe one sermon and obeyed one sermon. I don't know that you have to hear any more than that. Some will say, well, that's when I know more. No, no, you don't have to know anymore. When you know about your responsibility to God and that you're a sinner, you're lost in your sin, and you understand about baptism and the kingdom and God's authority, that's what Philip preached, Acts 8:12. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. That's the way it worked in Bible days. No reason why it shouldn't work that way tonight. So you've heard it. I know you believe it, surely. Would you repent of your sins? Be willing to confess your faith that Christ is the Son of God. Brother Ron is here to help you make that good confession. And all things are ready that you might be baptized into Christ. That's how you get in, by the way. Galatians 3:27. The only way you get in. That you might be added to the one body, the church. Acts 2:47. Rise to walk in the newness of life. And you go home tonight and pillow your head on the assurance that if you don't ever wake up, and you may not, all is well with your soul. You had a better offer than that today? I doubt it. Maybe you've already been baptized into Christ. You're a member of the Church of Christ, but you've been unfaithful. You've drifted away and your life is out of kilter with this sacred book. You want to straighten it up, and you can do that by repenting of those things for which you're guilty and asking God to forgive you in prayer. Why don't you come tonight, right now, while we sing.